Welcome, everybody. I'm Brother Goodwin. I'm crossing the spotlight. Doc is here, and we got an exciting show for you to start the new year. I realize the new year has already started, but we're going to bring you our episode we do every year. This year, we're calling it What's Coming in 2025. What's Coming in 2025? Stay tuned. Hey, everybody, welcome to the program today. Doc is here, and Doc, you got a verse for us to start us off.
I've got it written out. It's a little bigger font because something's happening to my eyes.
Old age is happening.
Oh, no, let's don't go down that road. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, been on my heart for quite a while. You and I even talked about it a few weeks ago. And it says in verse 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, 3, it says, "For when they," of course, that's talking about the lost, "shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Mm-hmm. And I think as we're facing a new year, I think it's pretty obvious they of the world are calling peace and safety. They really think our election of a president is going to bring them peace and safety.
I think a lot of people, and I'm a fan of Donald Trump. I know you voted for him, and he was, humanly speaking, the only hope to save the nation from where we're headed.
Yeah,
but we also realize that he's not God.
Nope.
God puts into office whomsoever he will. I think God takes the temperature of his people and gives them what they deserve.
Yeah,
and the Bible
does say that the Lord sets up and takes down.
Yeah.
But that doesn't negate the fact that prophecy is God's foreknowledge of the events. Prophecy is not God making these events happen.
I think a lot of people think we're saved now. Donald Trump's here. He's going to save us.
Oh, yeah.
I don't look at it that way. I think the same cancer and disease is in our country.
Absolutely.
The
it's
same
in our
sin
world.
Is here. People have not repented.
Oh, no.
God didn't hear our cry of repentance and sorrow for our lifestyles and then give us
and
a
I don't I don't notice we don't hear of if there is any political leaders in Washington that's asking for that either.
No. They're still thirsty for money in Washington.
Yes.
We saw that just recently with this
this
little budget they just gave us that's good till March.
This little budget.
First, it started out with 1,500 pages, and then a big outcry, and they cut it back. And Congress is not going to save us. And people are always saying the problem is Congress. No, the problem is us. Those people in Congress represent their districts.
They are simply a representation of what we really are.
Now, that girl, Artez, whatever her name is, the initials, OC, whatever, she's there because her district believes just like her, and they put her to represent them.
She's a mirror of what they are.
So, yes, those people are an issue, but they're there because there are people at home sent them there.
That's
and
right.
send them there. Every 2 years, they send them back.
Yep.
And so we have a cancer in the populace of our country.
Exactly right.
And
it's the cancer of sin.
Yeah.
It's the explosion of the sin nature run wild.
So, Donald Trump, I'm convinced that God spared his life from the one assassination attempt, but probably more than one. God's put him there for a reason, but I'm afraid the reason is not what your average Bible believer out there realizes.
I think the average Christian, and I use that word lightly anymore. I'm coming more and more biblical in the sense that they were called Christians because of their actions in Antioch, not because they called themselves Christian.
Right.
But I think Christianity as a whole is looking for an earthly savior no different than the Jews were looking for an earthly redeemer or a savior from the Roman Empire.
We got this feeling that Donald Trump's going to fix everything.
Yeah.
We're all going to be making money again. Our 401s will be good.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he's there for a different reason. And I think God placed him there because we are on the cusp of the end.
Excellent.
And there are some things that got to be in place. And, of course, God looked in the future and saw
it. I think there may be more than one reason. I think one of the reasons is this. I believe that God is allowing us as believers to have a little season of grace here at the very end to demonstrate what Christianity is supposed to be. And evangelize as we ought.
And give the people one last chance to turn to God.
I think that's part of it. But, folks, you're not going to slow down, and you are not going to change the course of history that's been pre-written by God.
Yeah, it's already appointed.
We are headed to a one world.
It's not dependent upon the last person getting saved or something.
So I see it as in two lights, Dan. I believe the overall setting of prophecy on the world stage is right there ready. But not every piece of the puzzle, as you talked about, is quite in place yet.
And I think Donald Trump is here for that reason.
I think he's here for that reason. But I think secondly, and I know some people aren't going to agree with me, but I'm here to tell you, Donald Trump is as much a globalist as the rest of the elites of the world. I'm not saying he doesn't care about his nation. I'm not saying he's not caring about nationalism. But I'm here to tell you, his movement in nationalism is putting together a segment of the world to fit in with the king, the 10 kings of a period of time in the one world order.
If the world leaders came to him and said, look, we're in a mess, would you lead us?
Yes.
You think he would turn that down?
No, he wouldn't turn down a split minute.
And I'm not saying he should. I mean, hey, let me help the world. Let's make the world a better place.
I'm not saying he doesn't have good intentions, but you got to understand, folks, billionaires are consumed with making more billions.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't care how nationalistic
they are,
but the bottom line is we are working at removing the deep state and replacing it with a billionaire oligarchy.
All right, so let's get into this. What we see coming in 2025. Let me start off, Doc. Because I made a couple of phone calls last night, and I talked to Damon Duck. Some of our viewers might know who he is. Mm-hmm. He's quite well known. He mostly is a writer. He writes articles. What's the name of that Rapture Ready site?
Rapture Ready, I believe it is.
I don't look at that too often, but he's on there. He and I have never met, but we know each other. We've talked on the phone. Mm-hmm. I called him last night, and I said, I don't want to put you on the spot, brother. By the way, he's 85 years old. He's not traveling very little anymore. I wish we could have got him on our program here sometime. He's not just a few hours from here. He's not far from Paducah, Kentucky. But I said, brother Damon, I don't want to put you on the spot, but I want to know have you got 8 or 10 things you think are going to happen? No, I said, you got anything you think is going to happen this year, 2025? I told him what we were doing.
Fine.
He said, I could list 10 right now. He said, and I just got one from him. And I already had this one on my list, and I bet it's on your. I haven't looked at your list, by the way, and we haven't even
discussed
this together. But I'll bet you this is on your list. It's on mine. He said, Brother Goodwin, I really think. Now, he called it the Gog Magog War. We call it the Ezekiel 38 thing.
Yeah,
same thing.
Yeah,
he believes that it's very possible that's coming this year. Russia coming down to the mountains of the north.
I have no doubt in my mind. I can see how this is working.
So that's what Damon Duckin, he's got a great prophetic mind. He has some of my books. We've talked. He's mentioned me in some of his articles, some of the stuff that I've written about. But he's a great writer, great article writer.
Very insightful and got his finger on the pulse.
And he says, that's really all that I'm doing now. I just want to pour my life into these articles. I believe that's what I could do right now.
Yeah.
You don't get out much anymore.
Well, you know, along that line, Dan, That's one of the things I have on my list.
Okay, so all three of us.
And I think it ties together with what I just said earlier.
Right.
Everybody's, and I will not be surprised if the thing in Ukraine doesn't come to a settlement before the inauguration. I really wouldn't be a bit surprised because they're already meeting together. Trump's already got it going in that direction.
Well, I just, on the way here, my wife was reading a story. She said Ukraine just shot down a, what was that thing called? Some kind of special helicopter that Russia owned was shot down for the first time ever by a drone of some kind. And they gave the name of it, but yeah. I bet you it's a U.S.-made thing.
Oh, probably, yeah.
And I have to wonder why Russia doesn't retaliate against us.
We're in the war.
Yeah.
So I believe... Damien is exactly right. I am convinced that what's going to happen, Trump is going to bring a settlement because everybody's looking for peace and safety. He's going to bring a settlement to the Ukraine thing, and that's going to free Russia up to go down and take care. Because in Syria, Turkey, Russia, and Iran all have vested interest in having Syria.
Sure. Now, I look at it similar to that, only the only difference I possibly see, and I'm not saying I'm right, you may be right too. I look at it like the war doesn't end, and Russia gets frustrated with Europe and America getting involved in this, and he just throws in the towel and says, phooey on it. What am I wasting my time here? And he goes straight down to Israel, to the mountains of the north, and begins the Ezekiel 38 campaign.
He may, but there's some other things in the Ezekiel 38 that's still got to fall into place.
Yeah.
And.
Yeah, because there's other nations involved.
There are other nations involved.
I believe Iran.
I can see how this year these other things can fall in place. Primarily, we did a program not long ago, and I talked about Jeremiah chapter 48 and 49. That is the prophecy against Edom, the southern end of modern-day Jordan, Ammon and Moab. Those are all in there. This is all modern day Jordan. And when you look at Ezekiel or at Psalms 83, and I think Psalms 83 is probably a battle that's never happened. But I don't know about you, but I've always looked at it as the entities that are involved. I've always seen those entities involved that are listed there as coming together all at the same time in one big battle. But I think as we're watching it play out, we're seeing these entities involved, but they're kind of being strung out a little at a time against Israel. And so what I believe we're going to see is this thing in Gaza is going to be settled pretty quickly. I don't know about the poor hostages. What a shame and what a terrible thing that's happened there. But I see that settling. The thing in between Hezbollah and in Lebanon, we're watching that already begin to shift, and they're getting ready to start up some new offshoots of that. And so what's left now that Syria has fallen, Iran is going to continue to do in Jordan, I believe, what happened in Syria. And I won't be surprised if the government of Jordan is not toppled. And Jordan is the pathway into what we call the West Bank, biblical Judea and Samaria. And the next phase of this war in Israel is going to be within its own borders in what's called the West Bank.
Yeah.
And so the players that are all mentioned in Psalms 83, I always read it as all of these are coming together in a battle. Now I'm beginning to realize these are all players, and this battle is a string of these coming together against all of them bound with the same purpose, destroy Israel.
Well, I think that leads right into what I want to share. We shared the Gog Magog, Damon Ducks. Mm-hmm. You had it. I had that one as well. We may have some different scenarios of
right.
how it happens or why, but it doesn't matter. None of us knows. But and then what you're just talking about there leads into this. I got this on my list: a repeat of the King Cyrus effect.
Yeah.
I was in Israel, my wife and I, in June of 2017. Not the best month to go, by the way. Ramadan was underway. They treated us like dogs up on the Temple Mount up there. And maybe they always do, but I think it was worse during Ramadan. And it was hot. But when we were there, I remember driving on the bus down the street. I remember seeing signs in Jerusalem area with Trump and Cyrus. I have a picture in my Daniel study guide book here that you can see me holding. I have a picture in this book on page 147 of Trump and King Cyrus, the 70th anniversary.
I've got one of those coins in my office.
I think I have one too. I think Michael Smith sent me one. And I've got a coin with that same picture on it. And the reason that they do that, what is it about Trump, you may ask, that makes him like Cyrus?
Jerusalem.
That's right. Cyrus is the guy at the end of the 70-year captivity. This is all in my Daniel study guide. At the end of the 70-year captivity, King Cyrus of the Persians, you remember the Medes and the Persians is the kingdom that overtakes Babylon, they're going to have a different view of Israel. They're going to Judah. I mean, Israel is right. Broken. I mean, the 10 tribes are gone and the 2 tribes are there. But King Cyrus is the one who's going to tell Daniel and his people to rebuild the temple, build the wall.
It'd be Ezra and Nehemiah, but yes.
Yeah. He's going to give them, right, he's going to give them the permission. And now Daniel's still alive. Mm-hmm. But you're right, it's Ezra and Nehemiah that he's going to give permission to rebuild. So he had favor towards them.
Yes.
And that's how they look at Trump. Trump.
Absolutely.
Has favor on Israel. He put the capital in Jerusalem. I mean, he didn't just talk about it, he did it.
Yep.
The only president that's ever done
all the rest of them before him talked about it.
And this peace thing, this the accords, the what do they call it?
Abrahamic Accords
with his son-in-law. I'm not saying that all that's good or bad. I'm just saying Trump orchestrated that.
Yep.
And it's
already coming back to life again.
So I think Trump coming back to the White House is going to continue and maybe even go further this time.
Sure. Yep.
Doing something that's going to free up Israel to do what and fit in the end times.
And to back Israel in its efforts against these foreign entities that come against them, yes.
So we got the Cyrus thing. Now, you got another one for us, but let me give this real quick. Well, go ahead. Go with yours. I've got one from Michael Smith.
I said, I think the Gaza thing this year, early, I think very soon, is going to be a settled issue. It's still always going to be a thorn in the flesh, but I think it's going to be, as I said, the Lebanon Hezbollah thing is already changing its name.
He ruled for 50 years, they say,
yeah,
in Syria, and all of a sudden, bang, he's gone.
Just all of a sudden. I will not be surprised if we do not see Jordan go down the same path, because the majority of them are Palestinian sympathizers. They got relatives involved in that.
Yeah.
And they're already, and you can watch, Iran is going to do everything to make its roadway through there into the West Bank. And I can see that happening. But lastly, on Israel, all of this is for the purpose of weakening Israel's military, using up a lot of their armament and materials. It's bringing the people financially to a difficult situation in Israel, and it won't be long until that pressure is going to bring about a political change.
But they've also defeated most of the enemy.
Oh, yes.
But not the real enemy.
The real enemy is Iran.
And in the process of this, they've weakened themselves.
Yes, indeed.
And
that was the whole purpose of using these surrogates.
And Russia, we know from the Bible, is the player that's going to come down.
I am confident coming down.
And that's getting ready to happen.
I know some think that the North, the Tubal and all of that, is talking about Turkey. I'm convinced Turkey's going to be involved in it, because Turkey is not going to lose out on the opportunity, in their thinking, to reestablish the Ottoman Empire once again. That's what they're after.
All right. Let me give Brother Smith, I talked to him. The second call I made last night was Michael Samuel Smith, and I posed the same question to him. Now, Brother Smith, God bless him, he rattled off a lot of other things that weren't what I was looking for. But the first thing he said was, and that's what I want to give Michael Samuel Smith's opinion here. The first thing he said was, I believe they're going to sacrifice a red heifer this year.
I'm convinced he will. Yeah.
And and that's very, and I said, no, Brother Smith, I think I know the answer, but tell me what is that all about? What's the big deal about that? And he agreed with me. He said exactly what I thought he'd say. It's going to lead towards the temple.
It's going to lead
the killing of the red heifer, the sacrificing of the red heifer gives them the ashes mm-hmm. they need for the anointing process. Yeah. It's another step towards the temple and all that.
I don't doubt that will happen.
Yeah. So I want to thank Brother Smith and Brother Damon Duck for sharing
Amen.
With us like that on the phone. He shared a whole bunch of stuff with me
it's obvious. The things in Israel, and even I saw a report a couple of days ago, even some of your more rational-minded and more liberal-thinking Islamic clerics are all for Israel doing this now.
Yeah.
You know, building their temple and all of that. And so when you eliminate hardcore Islamic influence, then you're going to be able to bring together these remaining entities.
Now, one of the things that people bring up a lot, and I'm not sure we fully have the answer to this, in Ezekiel 38:39, it seems to talk about coming against a city of unwalled villages. What's your answer to that?
Well, my answer is simple. This was written in the 6th century B.C.
Right.
There wasn't hardly any villages or any cities in the world that were not walled.
Yeah.
It's simply speaking of this is something that's going to happen at the end time when people are not living in walled cities.
Okay, that's a good answer. That's a good answer. And I would add maybe a possibility that this battle for the last year since October 7th last, mm-hmm. they've been taking out their enemies. I remember the cell phone thing and the
amazing.
Pager thing.
Amazing.
Unbelievable.
Yep.
It just seems like they're taking out most of their enemies, and all of a sudden they'll be able to lay down their arms and feel secure. Peace and safety, then sudden destruction. That's just another way to look at it.
It is everywhere you look. Well, and then people say, well, they have walls in Israel. Yeah. They have wall across all the way of the territory of Jordan. They have a wall all the way across down by Gaza. They have a wall on each side of the roads as they drive through any of the Palestinian quote-unquote territory.
Yeah.
So they do have walls in that sense, but they do not live in walled cities, and neither do we in America nor in any place in the world.
Yeah. Now, I've got another one here. Do you have another one?
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. In my Seven Clocks book, I talk about this. She may have put that up for you there, but... My Seven Clocks book, this is something I think I mentioned last year as well, and I'll mention this every year. Since 1945, when America dropped 2 atomic bombs on Japan, no other country in the world has done such, including us. Now, we've had test bombs and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody has nuked an enemy except America in 1945. I find that very shocking. I find it hard to believe that nobody has nuked anybody yet. And I wonder if maybe this year is the year that something somewhere in the world could be here, could be in Iran. I mean, somewhere could be Russia uses one in Ukraine. Who knows? I think a nuclear device of some sort. I think it's time has come. We've gone like.
Well, you could be very right because of course. I see some of the things concerning America a little different than the end times than you and maybe some others. I honestly don't see by the time of the tribulation that America is going to be the main player in the world. And the thing that would stop that would be what you're just talking about.
Mm-hmm.
We think we're invincible. We're not invincible. How many times has your internet service not worked? And how many times has your cell phone not worked properly? We live in an age of technology that is mind-blowing.
I texted you today and didn't get you.
It never came through. The last ones you texted when I came into the building, you know. But anyway, I wouldn't be surprised. North Korea right now is, they're on the teeter. They're not in good standing with China. China's upset with them. Russia's upset with them because some of those North Korean troops they sent up to help Russia up there killed a bunch of their Russian troops recently. And so everybody's mad. And so the presidential situation and the leadership in South Korea, it's in shambles. And so North Korea could be the guy that would, he doesn't have enough sense to do anything but sit there and push a button.
Now, a nuclear bomb somewhere would bring the leaders of the world together like never before.
Oh, yes.
And they would be begging, we've got, we can never allow this again. We've got to come together, yep. And we need a one leader to never let this happen again.
There are a lot of scenarios that we could talk about that'll bring the world together. One that we haven't mentioned yet, and that is, I believe, I might be wrong, but I will not be surprised if this year we do not enter into an electronic, technologically controlled economic system.
I'm
expecting it any time. And
the excuse, there's all kinds of excuses. I mean, money's being laundered. People are using money for, and they're counterfeiting it. I mean, who wouldn't be
the list of it, and the mark of the beast system of all of these chips that's being made smaller and more sophisticated. I could convince any mama, let me put this little chip in your baby. If your baby is kidnapped, we can find her or him anywhere in the world within a 3-foot circle. She's going to say, sign me up.
Sign me up, yep.
And so all of this, the economic system, the resurgence of wanting that money. When you read in the book of Daniel, as we'll get to one of these days, the end time leader is going to cause craft to prosper. Everybody's looking for what they can get in their pocketbook.
Yeah. And by the way, we'll get back to the book of Daniel. We've gone all the way through chapter 3. Next week, we'll be in chapter 4. We wanted to break into the study of Daniel and give you our 2025 possibilities here for the coming year. But we'll be back to the book of Daniel, chapter 4, next week. Very important chapter about redemption. And then, of course, we're going to go through all 12 chapters of that book. Get it on the website if you don't have the Daniel Study Guide yet. It's on the website. And all right, Doc, closing seconds. What would you say to the folks listening today?
Just want to make sure you're saved. Make sure your name's on the Lamb's Book of Life of Heaven. And between now and the end of this year, if we're still here, make sure you've witnessed all your loved ones. Do your best to get them saved.
And it's very possible we've left one out. It could be the raptures this year.
Amen.
We don't know that, but it could be. Until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.